All right, we're here. Allie Alberigo, Dwayne Brummett, schooltalk.com. Allie, is it still freezing in your area?
Yeah, it's still cold. Still cold as always. We had a little bit of snow last night, but not quite the storm they were gearing us up for. So I think that now I'm starting to realize that I believe the milk and the egg companies are actually owners of the media because they just want to keep driving milk sales. So they keep telling everyone there's going to be a storm, and then everyone runs to the store and buys out every shelf of milk and eggs, right?
Yeah, well, it'd be neat to see not only that, it'd be neat to see the statistics on their sales this winter compared to, you know, let's say last winter or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. There's a really great show. I haven't seen it often, but I kind of stumbled on it once or twice, and it was all about grocery store sales. And they actually, it wasn't like a reality show at all. It was about how the scientific aspect of how sales are made. And it was, the interesting part is they actually would do infrared video where they could track the traffic. And it was so cool. I mean, to me, I'm odd. That stuff I think is cool. Most other people would think it's boring, but how people only turn to the right and they don't ever turn to the left, and how the heat signatures are where people would travel more, and then how they would then display merchandise based on the traffic flow of the store. And I wasn't aware also, too, that this has opened my eyes, that actually every shelf in a supermarket is owned by a specific brand. Or actually, it's not owned by, but it's bought by that specific brand. So, like, if you go down an entire junk food aisle, that might all be made by Coca-Cola and other partnering companies, and they buy prime space. So it's not like if you and I, Dwayne, wanted to open up and have a new salsa line that we came up with, and you know, it's the best homemade salsa ever, we'd actually have to fight and purchase space or be able to show enough sales for them to even allow us on their shelves. Isn't that insane? But the cool thing was how things traveled and how people flowed through and, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, that was just an interesting thing came to mind.
Yeah, I know today we're going to talk about reinventing the wheel. And this might be a little, how do I want to say, different title. Maybe it doesn't describe it in how you guys are thinking of it when we say reinventing the wheel. But I just want to tell you about a call that I had with a client of mine. And I had to kind of spank him a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing is, you know, why do we feel as martial arts school owners that we have to always be reinventing or changing what already works? I mean, you coach a ton of people. Why is that?
Well, first let's rewind a little bit then, just so whoever's listening, you know, normally Dwayne and I get on the call, and before we even hit record, we start chatting a little bit about our day and the weather and our families and all that stuff, and hey, what'd you do, and hey, what are you up to? And Dwayne was telling me about this conversation he had, and I said, hey, just stop telling me, so I don't even have all the information yet, and I said, let's hit record, because this is what it's really all about, impromptu kind of like freestyle conversations, so that people see it's not this kind of, you know, scripted out kind of, you know, idea. But anyway, so you were telling me about this school owner, and basically I said to you, and here's the answer to that question that you just asked, is I, as a coach, as a martial art coach, find that our industry, of course, and people will laugh and chuckle at this, I hope, is definitely not, which I'm only being sarcastic, filled with people who have egos or are control freaks. Obviously, every martial artist fits that category. And when I call every martial artist out there a control freak, don't get insulted, because honestly, our training, the physical martial arts, we want to be control freaks because we're trying to control, and that's why we train every aspect of which way a fight may go. So, for instance, someone throws a punch, we learn how to block, and then we learn how to counter. Someone throws a kick, we do the same. We want to learn how to off-balance and throw. We want to wrist lock, do bone manipulation. I mean, it goes on and on and on, but all of that ends in us controlling the outcome of the fight, hopefully us ending up safe and sound and being able to defend ourselves. Then I had mentioned to you, Dwayne, too, like every martial arts system that's out there and all the hybrid systems that have started, whether it be Americanized or, you know, branch dojos breaking off from their teachers, all come from a want and a desire to do it on their own, to make it their own, to put their stamp on everything. Now, here's where I wish I had like a turntable kind of thing sound effect where I could have it stop, you know, and stop the music right now, because that this is what we want to talk about, is not doing that in this particular area, which is your business, because there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, no reason to do everything over again when there's proven things. And this is your conversation. So tell us a little bit about your conversation this morning. I'm like, you know, without giving up too much information or just giving us an idea so these the people who are listening do not replicate what's going on.
Yeah, what we were talking about is the roadway to success. That's kind of how I term it. And basically the roadway to success is the all the way from the info call up into the actual enrollment and creating a just – and I, again, I forgive me for this analogy, but – creating just the walls that you want the herd to walk through and the way that you want them to walk through and the thing that you want them to hear, see, taste, touch, smell, all the way to the point of enrollment.
Right.
And my frustration was that the client that I was speaking to today was trying to reinvent the wheel. And I have in the past given this client my system from A to Z. And when I say A to Z, and you know, I guess it's bad for me to say this, you know you don't know how many touches, but you know how anal I am with automation and things. So there's a ton of things that we do all the way from that A point to that Z point. Well, my frustration came out was this, that, you know, I'm like, I've given you this system. You know, why are we still talking about it? Why haven't you done it so that everybody can follow, or, you know, your whole staff and you can just follow the system? I asked them a question. I said, you know, what if I were to come to your area and I were to open up a McDonald's? And we all know that McDonald's is a very systematized business. I mean, it's down to the cups that get dropped into the, you know, container, or the, what is it called, the fountain drink thing, and it fills it up to a certain amount. I mean, that's super automated, right?
Right.
Well, I said to him, if I were to come to your area, open up a McDonald's and say, hey, I want to give you this McDonald's, and I want it's yours. All you got to do is follow the systems. All you got to do is run it. And I said, what would you do? I said, would you change the systems that are, and let's say it's a $2.5 million a year business. Would you change it?
Right.
Well,
my question as a joke to you, and then you kind of try to answer me seriously because you didn't know that I was really joking, but I said, well, what if that person who purchased the McDonald's was a martial artist who ran a martial arts school? Would they try to change the McDonald's? The answer would probably be a resounding yes. They try to change the logo a little. They put their stamp on it. They change the name of the, you know, whatever chicken thing and this and that, because they just want to make it their own. And that comes from their desire to control. But in the long run, they end up spending way too much time and they end up hurting themselves. So anyway, what did the guy say to you when you asked him that question? He said no?
Yeah, he said no. He wouldn't change it. And then, and like, he got it. He apologized to me. And I said, look, I'm not bringing this up so that you'll feel some sort of remorse or disrespect to me. It's just that I've given you this as a gift. It's yours. I mean, I didn't have to give you all of it. I gave you all of it. And
right.
All the way to the point where, and I was telling you this before we hit record, and then you're like, hey, we need to hit record. Is
right.
That I have what I consider to be a $2,000 phrase, because that's what I paid for it,
right,
in my phone script. And so just to kind of give you the gamut of what is all in this roadway to success, it's the, you know, how you answer the phone, to the phone script, to overcoming objections, to when you make a appointment, follow-up to the appointment to get them to come in, to what happens to when they come in, to after they do their first class, to, I mean, all the way. I mean, it's just a lot of information. Well, just the phrase alone that I paid $2,000 to get is enough to make me, you know, I remember when I first got that phrase and I sat down in a staff meeting and my my whole staff, I told them, now look, guys, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to say. And by the way, you know, I just spent $2,000 for this phrase. So every single one of you are going to say it, because I know that it works, because the individual that I bought it from has a very successful business. So much so that, you know, they, for years, for probably 25 years, they've had more than 500 students in their school. So I know that it works, and we're going to do it. And so long story short, I just told them that, look, I won't bring this up anymore. I've given it to you. If you want to follow it, I'd be more than happy to, you know, direct you. If you have questions, you know, when, okay, well, we're doing it, but how, why is this, you know, be happy to answer any questions, but I'm not going to bring it up anymore. And that's the feeder to your school. That is the information. I mean, that is how people are getting familiarized with your school all the way up to the sign-up process. Why wouldn't I can't tell you how many times that I've done minor changes to it when I try to automate things. But other than that, the crux of the whole process is still there from the beginning of when I actually, you know, decided to become successful, if that makes sense.
No, and you know what? And by the way, that last statement is probably worth a fortune right there, when you decided to become successful. And there are people in our industry and every other self-employed. Yeah, hey, listen, it doesn't matter whether it's a business owner, someone trying to get in shape, you know, whatever the case may be, people, and you know I use this term all the time, they get caught up in the thick of things, the day-to-day, the struggles that go on. And then most people, to soften the blow, want to call them reasons, but in reality, they're nothing more than excuses. And we find a way to justify why we couldn't do, shouldn't have done, didn't do this, that, or the other thing. Now, interesting as coaching, I mean, as you know, and by the way, you're helping this guy out of the goodness of your heart. It's not even like they're paying you. And I have people that pay me a lot of money, and they're just happy to kind of just be on the phone with me. And even though I tell them to do stuff, they don't do it. Like, I have one client that I've been working with, and I've been trying to get them to do an upgrade program. They have people who are super happy in their school, and they want more. But this guy is just hard. It's hard for him to get him to pull the trigger because he's afraid of the time commitment and not being able to give it his all. And the way I look at it is, in the way I set my upgrade programs up, they don't take all that much time at all, you know, during the year, let alone during the week. And we could literally just immediately change the financial landscape of his school with the click of a button or the decision to do it. So sometimes people just don't want to hear what they don't want to hear, right? And that's the problem.
Yeah, and let's kind of expand on that. I mean, is it fear? Is it commitment? I mean, what is it that you think is the reasons why they won't pull the trigger? I know, you know, I can just give you a for instance. I know before I had put in my upgrade program, there was a fear of actually sitting down and saying, yes, Mrs. Jones, the program is $199 a month. I mean, that was a fear of mine. I mean, is that what you're thinking?
You know what, though? And you know, it's interesting, and I'll tell you, on all the people that I've coached, that I've gotten to launch, and for lack of better names, Black Belt Club, and by the way, for those that are listening, I would prefer that you call it something else, because sometimes the connection to the word black belt sometimes puts people off, like they're afraid that they're not ready, they're not good enough, they're not capable. So I have people do programs like Elite Masters Elite or Elite Training Program or the, you know, or whatever one guy calls his the Viper Team. But anyway, long story short, I think that anything that's uncomfortable, which Tony Robbins says we only have two desires, you know, one desire actually, and that's to experience pleasure. The other desire is to avoid pain, but half the time, though, we are always shooting to shoot for the experience of pleasure. Now, sometimes, though, that immediate pleasure leads to long-term pain, and this is where people are too weak-minded to experience a little bit of pain initially to experience a world of pleasure. And what I mean by that, to be clear, is that, for example, I want to get in the best shape of my life, so I have to go to the gym and I have to eat right. Yet, I don't get to the gym and I don't train as much as I'd like because it's painful. I'm sore. I'm tired. It takes time out of my schedule. I could do whatever I want when I'm not there. So I avoid the long-term pleasure because I'm experiencing a short-term pain and so on. So we have to always look at our stuff, and I think that major fear is in the back of everyone's mind. So what is it going to take to do an upgrade program? What's it going to take? How much time? How much work? How much effort? Will I fail? Will people be mad at me? You know, and that was a big question that you I think you just mentioned it and said, like, well, how are people, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? What are they going to do? What's going to be their perception, right? And that's what is in the back of a lot of school owners' minds when they do anything in their school, whether it be an in-house tournament, selling retail. You know, for years when I owned my schools, I was like, I'll never sell any retail. You know, this is only about martial arts. And then I realized that my people were running out and buying stuff relating to the martial arts that I could have been selling them somewhere else. So then I realized that I was being silly. So anyway, we have to think more about that, you know, about the long-term pleasure rather than the short-term avoidance of a pain or short-term pleasure.
Yeah, and I think we get comfortable.
Right.
You know, and then in order to get out of that comfort zone, I mean, that's scary to get there. Correct me if I'm wrong, I've been at plateaus in my business where, and the reason it was a plateau is because I got to the point that I wanted to get, and then I was like, whew, all right.
Right.
And then I just kind of rode, you know, I skated. I just did nothing, even though we were at a nice level. I did nothing. And then it's scary to then get back in to go, well, what if it doesn't, you know, what if you don't succeed? And, you know, or what if, like you said, what if, you know, what is this person going to say or do? Or it's part of life.
And you know what you just said, though, that's another big thing about comfort zones. And listen, people will do what they're comfortable with, and they will avoid, like it were, you know, a red-hot molten lava, things that they're uncomfortable with. After all, that's why they say the number one fear is public speaking. People would actually rather drown or die than speak in public. There are people that are that frozen in fear, and they get paralysis to be able to speak in public. And it's shocking to me. I've been speaking since I'm a little kid. I was in a band. I was on stage. I never had a fear, as you guys know, if you're listening to this, of speaking my mind and saying what I say, right? So, but for me, I actually enjoy it. In fact, to the point sometimes where people say, would you shut up for a minute, you know? And so, you know, it's the point of it is, of course, is to push that comfort zone. And if you drew a little circle on a piece of paper and you put all the things that you're super comfortable with, and then you draw another circle around that, a little bit bigger, maybe about another half an inch or an inch, and you wrote in all the things that you're uncomfortable with, and you know, minor things, you know, that are not going to really paralyze you, and then you started working on those things. Now, just imagine this on paper, what it would look like. And then all of a sudden, by doing them over and over again, you become comfortable with them. You might not be the best, but you don't fear them and you won't avoid them. Like, for example, cold calls or, you know, getting old students back by admitting, you know, fault or whatever. I don't even know what the case may be. But now you have that other outer circle, and then you do it over and over again, and now you become comfortable. Now you could literally go in and erase the first circle. And your comfort zone is just expanded. I don't want you to always jump out of your comfort zone and do things that you're not comfortable with. I want you to learn how to safely and comfortably expand that comfort zone. And that's what we need to do as business owners. And then, by the way, we can also, as owners, delegate expansion of that comfort zone. So, in other words, if I hate 2-4-6-week calls or I hate cold calling and I'm terrible at it, why don't I just hire someone so that my company's comfort zone grows? Because if I'm not doing it because I don't like it, I'm not getting it done. I need to hire someone that will do it, and then I can erase that inner circle. I might not personally have achieved all those things, but this is not only about personal growth, but the company has grown. Does that make sense?
So much so. I mean, that's what our 2-4-6-week calls. I've developed the phone script for them, you know, if the person answers lively answer the phone live, or if they answer it lively.
Right.
If they answer it live or if it's a recording, I have two different scripts that my staff reads. And,
right.
And I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Even if I was afraid of it, I still don't have to do it. They do it. And the funny thing is sometimes – with some of the individuals that I have on the phone, they're actually better at it than I am because I don't do it. I think I could be just as good, if not better, if I wanted to be, but I don't do it. So I don't have to be great at it. I just had to set up the system to do it.
Right.
You know, and that's the other thing is I told this client was, you know, if it's not my system, it needs to be somebody's system.
Right.
That you need to implement. And as the only direction I said was this, you know, really all you need to do is find, number one, you got to find one that works, but as long as it doesn't contrast with any beliefs that you have about your business or personal or spiritual or anything that it doesn't, you know, come into direct opposition to, take it and implement it.
Right, right, yeah, and I agree with that too. You know, don't sell your soul, so to speak, just because the system works. There are times where someone may, in a system, they may have 10 or 20 different little individual points that need to be done, and you might have a real moral conflict with one or two of them. Then don't throw them out, but find out what you could do to make it your own so that you feel 100% comfortable morally and, you know, ethically to be able to do it so that it's right, rather than, you know, saying, okay, I'm just going to, hey, it works, I'm going to chase the money. Because, you know, then we'll end up, you know, morally bankrupt, and we don't want to do that. So we want to make sure. There are a lot of coaches out there that, you know, they're coaching people to make money first and martial arts second. I actually do it the opposite. My entire goal is to teach martial artists to be businessmen. And then I don't want them to be businessmen first, martial artists second. I always want the martial arts to be the top priority. And what we do spiritually our goal is to, of course, help the student first through the vessel or the avenue of martial arts. And the money will come, of course, if we're doing the right business practice.
Well, that's exactly what, you know, Zig Ziglar said. You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want.
Right.
And I like your approach, because the important piece about being a martial artist first and a business person second, it doesn't diminish your business skills. But what it does is it really highlights the passion and the reason why you got into this business in the first place. And so,
right.
Please don't think by any means that we're myself or even Allie are saying that we're trying to put down the business part. By no means. But if you lose your passion and if it's all about business, I did that before.
Right.
I can remember a time that I was looking at dollar bills on the floor and not kids, and I
right.
hated that. And I even told my head instructor at the time, I said, I'm so glad that you are teaching right now.
Right.
And he says, why? I said, because you are connecting with the students, and I'm unfortunately right now so business focused that I'm, and it's wrong, I was seeing dollar bills on the floor. And so I needed time to switch that mentality back to the passion that I had before. So I don't want anybody to get misconstrued with what we're talking about. We're not putting the business part down, but our passion as being a martial artist and the ability to be able to help people through the martial arts, and the business will come, but you
right.
do need to have systems that work. And obviously,
right.
like we said, fit your moral compass.
Yeah, and what I like what you said, and then I just want everyone also to understand that just having passion for the martial arts and not looking at it as a business will also be the death of you as well. So you do have to have a balance in between, but you could be a incredibly powerful entrepreneur and make a huge amount of money at your martial arts school and still give out the best quality experience ever. And here's the fun thing for me is that I love putting back into my school. I really do. I'm like renovating my lobby now. We're changing colors. We may be adding in a new floor, getting away away from the carpet and putting in like a tile, and just to make the lobby experience in my retail center much more appealing. But I look at that not, and some people might be hearing, well, what does that have to do with the school? And for me, it is all about an overall branded experience. It's not about, we don't want to hope that our clients will selectively only see the good things and not see the bad things. You know, so we want to make sure that we have all good things. And then to me, that's what drives me every day, is the fun thing about growing the students and seeing them progress and getting better at teaching and my staff training so that they could bring more people through the door and train them and we could promote more black belts. That's, I think quite often, most of the time, parents in my school, when they come at me and they say, well, my kid didn't get promoted, and I'm very upset. And I go, do you think that it's not, that's our desire not to promote your child? Do you think we have like a personal vendetta? If you do, maybe you need to go to another school. So I have to quite often let them know that there's a no prouder moment in the world that I can have is then to promote a black belt in my school. And that's the perfect sign of success when I've done that we've kept them in my school for 7.5-8 years training in the martial arts, which is probably about 4 times longer than the normal industry standard, which is about like between 12 and 18 months for retention in a martial arts school. So anyway,
yeah, and the reason that you are able to do that is because of one, the passion that you have in the martial arts, the passion that you have your instructors have with the martial arts, but also the system that you have built for not only for your staff to follow, but also for your students to follow. And there is a roadway to success. I mean, I talked about I've shared this roadway to success from info call to sign up, but then the roadway doesn't stop there. I mean, it still continues. And you know, I guess my piece of advice to everybody would be, stop reinventing the wheel. Align yourself. If you don't have systems that are already built, then align yourself with somebody that already has the systems and just plug and play them. You have to have them in order to be able to continue to share your passion with everybody.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to get lost. We assume. And I guess I will say that in the beginning, when you first started martial arts and when I first started martial arts, a lot of things were probably – and you started a lot earlier than me, so maybe even more for you that – a lot of things were just assumed by our instructors that we have picked these things up or that we know them. There wasn't as structured of a way as there is today. So I don't want to say that we shouldn't improve upon things, but when a system works, don't. don't change it completely. I mean, you can find small little things that you can add into it to make it better, but marketing is marketing, sales is sales, and relationships are relationships. And the basics never change in any of those things, ever.
Right.
A handshake and eye contact is huge. And so what, are we going to start doing fist bumps? No. I mean, there's a total different feel of a handshake than there is a fist bump. I mean, I know I'm probably getting on a little soapbox here, but
No, you're not, though. Not at all. I think that it's very important what you're saying. And it's like, it's exactly, again, it goes back to the being happy with the moral compass that you have. And that could be in the martial arts. So in other words, like in my school, we're not going to, chest bump and, high five and pat each other on the butt and all that. So we're a very traditional, classical Japanese martial art. In fact, we don't shake hands in my school. We do high five. But, we do that martial art hug, grab the guy by the hand and pat him on the back kind of thing. But we are a very classical martial arts school. So it's very important that the students don't touch their sensei and pat him on the back or reach out and, whatever. These are the things that we do. So I have to be happy with putting, what I produce, so I can put my head on the pillow when I go to, sleep at night to be able to say, this is really what I want to do, what I love, the product that I'm putting out.
So let's kind of sum everything up about reinventing the wheel.
Right. Yeah.
Why not reinvent the wheel, Allie, in your opinion? Why not?
Here's the thing. I mean, business-wise, and I'll keep this as short as I possibly can, which sometimes is a struggle, this is the way I see it. Why waste time on things that are already in a package, so to speak? In other words, you don't buy a cake that's pre-baked there's icing on it, and take it home, put it back in a blender, and then re-ice it. You know, there's no sense to it. Yet people take systems, and that's a good analogy if people could, because they're actually doing that. You give a complete system to someone, A through Z, step one through whatever, and you say, okay, this is what you do. And then that person goes, okay, I'm going to change this word. I'm going to change that thing, and I'm going to do this. And then they're going to come back to you and say, hey, it didn't really work, Dwayne. What's wrong with this? This doesn't work in my area, because they're missing. It could be just one minor or one major component. So I say, save your time and put it into things that you're better at. Use the systems that are proven, or else in the first place you wouldn't have bought the system or gotten asked for it, right? Because you needed it, obviously. So why all of a sudden do you become the expert when you needed a system that wasn't working in the first place? So you got to let your ego go and just let the system do its thing. And then you have to. And here's the key ingredient, and this is very important for everyone to listen. You have to do it to 100% of your best ability. That's important, because if you're just doing pieces of it and not giving your attention, it's not going to work. And in fact, my referral of a lifetime program product launch that I have on my website, I give it to people, and the people that follow it to the T are killing it. I mean, I had a guy already had signed up 20 people, 20 from using that program. I mean, that's incredible. 20 students times whatever you charge a month, it's a lot of money, because he's following to the letter. And this is going to produce for him forever. Because if he keeps on doing it, it's going to keep on working. So why change it? So I say stick to it and don't do that.
Yeah, and then the only last piece of advice I'd put along with it is, if there's something in there that doesn't fit your branding or fit your, like we had kind of coined, moral compass,
right.
you can change that piece. Right. Just make sure that you change it so that it fits the avenue or venue or philosophy to a certain degree, the reason why it is there in the first place. You can always replace it, but make sure you know the reason why it is there in the first place, and then you can replace it with something that is equal to what your standards are or your moral compass is, but it has to fit why it's there in the first place.
So, right.
Go ahead.
That's a great analogy. Quick, let me just interrupt that. Going back to the cake analogy, if you're a vegan like me, you're not going to use eggs in that cake, but you do have to get something else to bind it all together. So don't just exclude the system. Like you said, Dwayne, that might be a very vital portion. It might be step three or four in the program. It might not be the way you want it, but you have to find out why it's there in the first place, so that you don't just exclude it, because that might destroy the end results. So make sure that you find out why it's there and then say, okay, but I can't do it that way, so why don't I tweak it to benefit me morally? You know, other than that, don't change it just because you're thick-headed and you think it should be that way. You know, a lot of people will do that and go, I can't do that in my area, or I can't do that with my style, or I don't, you know, and that kind of stuff is what hurts these martial arts school owners.
Right, and I want to clarify that you said thick-headed, so just so everybody understands.
Yes, of course. Why didn't it sound like that?
Yeah, I'm just saying, quickly.
Yeah, thick, T-H-I, right? So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't curse, as you know. I'm not a curser. So that's real important what you said, though, and I love it. This is a real – again, another call that I believe to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I really appreciate this. Everybody, take it, implement it. Listen to it over and over. The other thing, too, we're asking martial arts school owners is feel free to share this call and any other calls with any other martial arts school owners that you know. And I just want to put this out here. We've never really said this, but we are doing this schoolownertalk.com to not – and I want to make everybody understand this. We're not trying to promote any products, not Allie's Next Level. It's just it's free information for the martial arts school community, or, you know, the martial arts school owners communities, because we really have a passion for making strong, or helping to make strong martial art businesses, so that we all can benefit from that. We are unfortunately so secluded sometimes, and we're so standoffish about this, you know, about getting help, you know, with other schools or other school owners, just because of our pride that we talked about before. And we really would love to see the martial arts become the focal point of, you know, of the United States or America, across the world, that we are the answer to a lot of people's problems.
Right.
You know, kind of like the old adage where the chiropractor could solve everything, but not that far. Right. But we can't do it if we don't have a lively, systematized, successful school that, you know, and when I say successful to the point that you want to bring it, it doesn't have to, you know, this could be a part-time deal for you, but you still run everything based upon the systems that you learn, just like you do in your own martial art system. You teach the low block or whatever it is in your system. You teach it systematically. Well, let's transfer that information into our business aspect as well. Allie, last words?
No, that's it. I love it. Everything you said was perfectly spot on. And, yeah, I just want to thank everyone again for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and you're walking away with something powerful. And I can't wait to have you on our next call.
All right, everybody. Have a great day.
All right, take care, Dwayne. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.